So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is elucidating here on the most confidential subject matter. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, when he comes to the most confidential section of the Bhagavad Gita, he says to Arjuna that he is revealing this knowledge to him because he is never envious of him. Itam te tu guyatamam prakshami anasuyave. I'm revealing this to you because you are never envious of me. And then he goes on to explain that this is Raja Vidya, Raja Guya, the most secret of all secrets. Krishna is not accessible by any other way than devotional service. And devotional service is not accessible by any other way than the devotee of Krishna. Krishna Das Kaviraj here is beginning by saying, simply by remembering the spiritual master, the devotees of the Lord, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I have invoked their benedictions. Such remembrance destroys all difficulties and very easily enables one to fulfill his own desires. He's talking very confidentially to devotees here. This is a very, very, very confidential piece of information that he's giving. And it's centered upon the human being using that faculty which actually distinguishes him from all other species of life in this material world. And that is remembrance. In the Isha Upanishad, there is the verse where the speaker says, now that my life is coming to an end, and now I am having to leave this body, my Lord, you please remember all that I've done for you. And Srila Prabhupada uses that verse in a very, very powerful way to, first of all, explain that this distinction between an animal and a human being is that an animal is experiencing one sensory perception after another, but he doesn't remember anything. He doesn't remember anything. Animals can be trained within a very, very, or some animals can be trained within a very, 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 very narrow band of memory. Like it's estimated that you could train a dog to understand about 150 words and gestures, and therefore have some influence over their behavior. It's basically what is called, in psychological terms in the world, cognitive behavioral therapy, where you can actually control the external behavior of the animal. But you can't do anything about his mind beyond that. And no matter, as Prabhupada says, no matter how well you train a dog, you throw a bone and he jumps. Because he has no control over his senses, because he cannot be trained to remember anything at all that enables him to act of his own volition. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that during a lifetime, a human being remembers so many things, and he may remember the wrong things. Due to material attachments, we remember the wrong things. If you think back in your life, there was one story of one devotee. He nearly drowned in the Ganga. And when he was pulled out, devotee said, did you think of Krishna? He said, well, actually, no, I didn't. They said, well, what came into your mind? He said, well, I'm not very proud of this, but the jingle, the hands that wash dishes will be softer than your face when you wash, use, and... And any advertising, any advertising executive worth his salt will tell you, if you can get the riff right, if you can create the sonic worm that gets into people's heads, then you can condition their behaviour to do all kinds of things. How many people can remember the opening riff of Smoke on the Water? Huh? Yes. We've got some honest people here. So we go through our life hearing things. And on the basis of what we hear, we remember. That's why we're speaking English. Because we heard it over and over and over and over again, and we learned to speak it. Remember it and speak it. So what we hear affects what we remember. Just like, again, what's 9 times 9? You don't have to think about it, it's just there. Because that was programmed into you when? 5 years old. You learn your 2 times table, your 3 times table, your 4 times table, and what happens? You remember them. You remember them. So memory is a very, very, very important function of being a human being. We are in an age where memory is very, 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 very weak. Very weak. That's why we have books. Previously, in human society, prior to the Kali Yuga, there are no books. Knowledge is handed down by this process. The teacher speaks, the student hears and remembers. Srila Prabhupada always spoke with great pride about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, of how he had a photographic memory, of how after many, many years he could take a book off the shelf and say, and open it up to a page and say, here's what it says. So this level of memory is actually the standard for human beings. The difficulty is we are living in a time when memory is becoming very, very diminished, and the intergenerational effect of that can be devastating on a society. So here he is in the beginning of this narration. Simply by remembering the spiritual master, the devotees of the Lord, and the personality of Godhead, I have invoked their benediction. Such remembrance destroys all difficulty and very easily enables one to fulfill his own desires. Now he's talking here, as he goes on, to Vaishnavas. So when we talk about own desires, we don't mean material desires, we mean spiritual desires. One's desires for service to the Lord. So there are several points here that we, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, need to remember very clearly. Firstly, as he is saying, by remembering the spiritual master, we need to remember very clearly Srila Prabhupada and what he did and what he stood for and what he delivered to the world. Because if it were not for Srila Prabhupada, none of us would be here today. That's a simple fact. So remembrance is also a very good facility for the human being, because it enables us to access gratitude. If you don't remember anything, then you have no gratitude for what you've got. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know who gave it to you. And we are all the beneficiaries of benedictions. We don't know where benedictions are coming from. We don't know. Well, we know by virtue of the knowledge that we've been given that things come down to us from higher authorities, that everything is supplied to us, and that by the performance of sacrifice, we are benedicted. So we need to remember this in order to actually cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And the highest gratitude that we can actually attain is the gratitude for the ability to understand who is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because as I said in the beginning, the subject matter of Krishna is most confidential. You can't hack into Krishna's database. You can't do that. There are so many confidential databases in the world, and people are actually hacking into them all the time, as they say. The big fear is that the next war will be in cyberspace. Actually, the war is already going on in cyberspace. Wars are going on all the time. Top secret and above top secret databases are being hacked into all of the time. But you can't hack into Krishna's database. No one can. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are, it doesn't matter how much mundane knowledge you have, you cannot access Krishna. Krishna is not available. Naham prakasha savasya yoga maya samavrita. He makes this very clear in Bhagavad Gita. I am not available to anyone who is not a devotee. Who is not a devotee. And it is not a logical progression to go that, yes, I'm the smartest person in the world, therefore it's only natural now that I'm a devotee. One becomes a devotee of the Lord. One gets ushered into this privileged situation, this most confidential situation, by the benediction of the devotee of the Lord, and only by that. I mean, it's very simple. You just sit and think, how do I know anything about this? How is it that I am able to sit here and say these things in a cognitive way and you are able to sit there and cognize what I'm saying? It is because Srila Prabhupada has come and very simply and plainly presented the matter before us. And if you look at that in a wider scale of universal time, creation, days of Brahma, lifetimes of Brahma, Krishna appears every day of Brahma's lifetime. But how many millions and millions and millions and millions of years transpire in terms of life on this planet? It's inestimable. We can quote the numbers, but it's inconceivable. I mean, I don't know about any of you here, but I, in my own life, I've probably never had more than $30,000 in my hand at one time. What to speak of a million? What to speak of a billion? What to speak of billions? What does it mean? We glibly say, oh yes, the duration of the creation is 311 trillion and 40 million years. Go figure. Inconceivable amounts of time. We're in an ocean of time. Everything in creation is taking place in time. And so much time passes between very short appearances of Krishna and in his infinite forms. Krishna appears for 125 years. 125 years ago, there wasn't even electricity on this planet. Who can imagine that? There wasn't a motor car. There wasn't an aeroplane. We can't even cast our minds back 125 years to get any sense of what life must have been like then. And that 125 years of appearance occurred 5,000 years ago. There's barely even 5,000 years of recorded history in the Caucasian world. They're scratching around in the dust around the pyramids trying to work out something that happened maybe 2,000-3,000 years before Christ appeared. Well, that's 5,000 years. That's when Krishna was on the planet. And for about an hour, he speaks Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and Arjuna understands it. Once through, he understands it, he gets it. A Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 odd years ago. What is it now? 500 and how many are we? 23. 523 years ago, Lord Chaitanya appeared for 48 years. People are dropping dead at 48 now. And he vanished. Lord Kapila appeared, sits down with his mother for a few hours and gives her instructions, then he disappears. And if you Banu Maharaj is the real expert on this. Banu Maharaj has got a slideshow that catalogues the appearance of different incarnations of the Lord, and he shows that this appearance of the Lord was in a Treta Yuga within the particular Manvantara at a particular time. And then you start to look at it and there's millions and millions of years in between these little flashes of appearance. So how does anybody know anything about all of this? It is only by the mercy of the devotees who by hearing and remembering and passing the knowledge on through the parampara system, enable this knowledge to be available, this most confidential knowledge to be available in human society. And here we come to Chaitanya Charitamrita, the most confidential of the most confidential knowledge. What distinguishes the International Society for Krishna Consciousness from any other manifestation of a parampara anywhere on the planet today? What is it that distinguishes us? You can go to any Sri Sampradaya temple, Ramanuja Sampradaya, you can go to Madhva Sampradaya, you can go to all Sampradaya, you go all over South India, there's Radha Krishna deities, there's Lakshmi Narayan deities, there's Sitaram deities, yes? There's Varaha deities, there's Nrisinga deities, they're all there. And they're being very nicely, grandly worshipped. Some places for hundreds and sometimes thousands of years, the deities being worshipped. So what is it that distinguishes the International Society for Krishna Consciousness from all of this? It is that Srila Prabhupada has come and revealed Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga avatar. Not only is he the Yuga avatar, as it is said here by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Where is that verse? Or as Prabhupada says, in the purport, Lord Chaitanya is the absolute truth, Krishna himself. Krishna himself. Though this is most confidential knowledge. More confidential knowledge than any other knowledge that is presented anywhere in any scripture in the history of the universe, in the history of creation. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is revealed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, revealed as he is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. There is no difference. There is no difference between Radha and Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj explains very clearly here in this Chaitanya Charitamrita that unless you approach the worship of Radha and Krishna through the worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you do not recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then your worship of Radha and Krishna is useless, because you're not understanding the absolute truth as it is. That is such a powerful phrase, as it is. We live in a world where everyone's got an opinion. Well, that's my opinion anyway. Actually, there's a very funny T-shirt that says, "Everybody's entitled to my opinion." And even Krishna very humorously says to Arjuna at the end of the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when he explains the position of the highest yogi, he says, "That is my opinion." So even God plays the game. I've got an opinion too. You take it or leave it. We live in a world where everybody's got an opinion. And there's so much speculation about what is the nature of reality, what is the source of existence, what is the source of life, what is matter, what is spirit, what is God. But they all come under the heading Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. So we see this verse we prayed at Srila Prabhupada. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pracharane. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarane. The Western countries. Of course, if you go west from India and keep going west, you come back to India. So really, it's all west now. The whole world is full of this Nirvishesha Shunyavadi nonsense. Absolute garbage. Absolute poison. The most vitriolic, destructive poison that can be poured into the consciousness of the human being is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Because not only is it a denial of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is a denial of the very self of every individual. Krishna begins very, very, very simply, very clearly. Neha bikrama nasho sti pratyavayo navichite. What is that verse? No, not that verse. What is the first verse? Never was there a time when I did not. Janadipa na chaiva na bhavishyama savaivayama taparam. Yes? That's the last line? I've completely forgotten that verse. Never was there a time when I did not exist. Nor you. Nor all these kings. Nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. This is the complete antithesis of Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. And how is it counteracted? Gauravani Pracharine. By the preaching, by the vigorous propagation of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No other way. as it is, not as I think it is, or as we have concluded it to be, or as it may be under certain circumstances, just like there's this idiot. Scientist says, under certain circumstances, something may arise from nothing. Well, if you've got nothing, where do the certain circumstances come from, you idiot? You don't have to be a Nobel laureate or a Rhodes Scholar to understand this philosophy is just absolute nonsense. Under certain circumstances, something can arise from nothing, just as it has in my brain. There is the old joke that perhaps the only place there is nothing is between the ears of an impersonalist or a voidist. As it is, this is actually, you see, anything is potent as it is. Arsenic is very potent as it is. You can dilute it down, just like in ancient times they used to pick young girls who had a certain constitution, and from a very early age they would feed them very diluted forms of arsenic, diluted, and it would gradually accumulate in their system, and they weren't affected by it. But everything about them was arsenic. And then they would be trained up as courtesans, and then they would be sent to the courts of enemy kings. And the enemy king would seduce this girl, he'd kiss her, and as soon as his tongue touched her saliva, he died. So you can dilute things down, yes, but you just become poison. You just become poisoned by that. You don't notice it happening. Just like you can drop a frog into hot water and he'll jump out. But if you put him in a pot of cold water and put it on a slow flame, he doesn't notice how hot it's getting till it's too late. And this is the pernicious effect of Nirvisesha Sunyavadi. When I was a boy, 50 years ago, there was no teaching of evolution in school. There was no teaching that life arose from matter. There was no teaching about where it actually did come from either, but at least there wasn't any teaching that it came from matter. But it's just standard now. You're an idiot. You're scoffed at and treated like you're an absolute idiot if you don't accept this. But where, as Prabhupada said, where, anywhere in the scientific world, has it been demonstrated that life comes from matter? It hasn't. And it can't be. Because if we understand life as it is instructed by the supreme authority, the supreme personality of Godhead, then never was there a time when he did not exist, nor you, nor all these other living entities. We are all eternally spiritual individuals. And not only are we individuals, we are part and parcel of the supreme individual. That supreme individual is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are all part and parcel of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes that very, very clear by his appearance as the Panchatattva. This is what distinguishes the International Society for Krishna Consciousness from everything else. Srila Prabhupada used to say, we do not discriminate. We criticize everybody. What is your philosophy? There is no philosophy that stands up to the philosophy of Chitta-bheda-bheda-tattva as presented by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no philosophy that stands up to it. There is no philosophy anywhere that will be satisfying to the mind and the heart and the intelligence of a sincere seeker of truth. There are many insincere people in the world. The world is full of insincere people, actually. We are overrun by cheaters and cheated in this world now. And it's getting worse and worse and worse by the day. And why? What is the root cause of the whole problem? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us, you've forgotten Krishna. We're talking about remembrance. So what's the problem? Forgetfulness. Only that. We have forgotten Krishna. We have forgotten who we are in relationship to Krishna. We have forgotten these things. And on the basis of that forgetfulness, we have got ourselves entangled in unlimitedly expanding concocted philosophies of the nature of reality. There's the old saying, if you don't believe in God, you believe in anything. Anything. Any, Prabhupada used to say, any damn nonsense. Why? Because people want to be fooled. Because we have been in this material world, in this forgetful state, since time immemorial. What a powerful phrase Prabhupada uses. Since time immemorial. There's one lecture where he's talking about the nature of material suffering. The word sangstuta. And he says this means material sufferings that are coming one after the other, one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. Then he says, just more or less as an aside, and this has been going on since the beginning of creation. And then he bellows, what to speak of this creation? We have been in the material world for billions of creations. 311 trillion 400 million years. Yeah. Multiplied by billions. Billions and billions. And even then he's being conservative. How do you calculate? Million, billion, trillion, quadrillion? Where do you go after quadrillion? Who knows? What's the next level of a quadrillion? What's the next? And the next and the next and the next and the next. We have been in the material world since time immemorial. Why? Because we have material desire. That's why. We're all victims here. We're all victims of our own nonsense. We don't have to be in the material world to be alive. This is not real life. This is a facsimile of life. This is, as Prabhupada says, a perverted reflection of real life. What a powerful phrase that is. A perverted reflection. Not inverted. Not reverted, not diverted, but perverted. Perverted. You ever been to into the sideshows where they have those mirrors that, you know, they're all wavy and they've got oil somewhere between the mercury and the glass, there's oil, and then you stand there and you get a perverted reflection. You know, everybody laughs. But the perversions are endless. Sometimes we see, and sometimes the devotees, they fall into some difficulties. they may go away and they may become entangled in activities contrary to our regulative principles. And you'll hear somebody say, oh, he'll come back or she'll come back when they hit rock bottom. But there is no rock bottom. Prabhupada in one letter explains, just as there is no limit to the blissful exchanges that can go on with Krishna, there is no limit to the way in which Maya can kick you. There's no rock bottom. There's only giving up and turning back. Just as we chose to come to the material world, we have to choose to turn back. But we can't make that choice until we have the most confidential information. And that most confidential information is, hello, you've forgotten Krishna. Now there's an argument put up that we've never been with Krishna, that we have no relationship with Krishna, that this human form of life is an opportunity to establish a relationship with Krishna and then make progress to the Vaikuntha planets or Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual sky. But the very simple point at the core of Lord Chaitanya's teaching completely blows that out of the water. How can you forget something you don't know? Forgetfulness infers remembrance, which infers knowing. You can't remember something you don't know, therefore you can't forget it if you don't know it. If it's not there in the first place, where's the question of remembering anything? Where's the question of forgetting anything? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself appearing in the mood, in the complexion and the mood of Srimati Radharani to show us what is our real identity. Sanatan Goswami presents himself to the Lord and says, my Lord, everybody, I am a great scholar of so many languages. I'm the minister, prime minister of Nawab Hussain Shah. Everybody thinks of me and deals with me with great regard. But to tell you frankly, sir, I don't know who I am. And Lord Chaitanya doesn't say, well, actually, you're such and such Manjari. You're standing here when I'm doing the Rasa dance and we're all having a wonderful time together. He says, no, you are the eternal servant of Krishna. So first, we need to re-establish that. We need to remember that. So these are some of the points that substantiate the importance of remembrance. Without remembrance, none of this is available to us. Therefore, we must never forget. We must never forget the importance of the devotees of the Lord. And we must never forget the most important devotee of the Lord, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because if not for him, and only him, this world is going to hell in a basket. But there would be no possibility of any alternative of any value for anybody. I've even heard people say, well, you know, if Swamiji hadn't gone, somebody else would have. Well, you can take that as far as it can go, and you can say, yes, and if Krishna wasn't God, somebody else would be. what does it matter? I'm here now. I'm the Acharya now. No. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Unusurpable position. Why? Because he's the instrument of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. He is the living, active, cognizant, humble, self-effacing, unassuming instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very interesting. People sometimes make the comment, yes, such and such a mutt is known by the name of the Acharya of the mutt. So-and-so Swami's mutt. So-and-so Swami's mutt. So-and-so Swami's mutt. But every temple in ISKCON is known as a center for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. How humble, how unassuming can you be? This is Acharya. This is Acharya. So humble, so unassuming, you can listen to morning walk conversations where people are glorifying Srila Prabhupada. He says, I'm just a puppet. I'm just a puppet. And he laughs. I'm just a puppet. Don't trust me, trust Krishna. This is the greatness of our Srila Prabhupada. How many people listen to Srila Prabhupada on a regular basis? I cannot recommend highly and strongly enough that you develop the habit of spending some time with Srila Prabhupada. He reasons ill that says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. You can all have the personal, direct association of Srila Prabhupada through the sound of his transcendental voice. Let us not forget this. Let us not forget that when we assemble here every day, in whatever state of bewildered consciousness we may be, that we are all here only because of the inconceivable mercy Srila Prabhupada, and that there is no one more dear to Lord Chaitanya than Srila Prabhupada in this world, nor will there ever be. Don't be perverted. Don't be misled. But you will be unless you develop the right relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Srinvatam swa kata krishna punya shravana kirtana ridyantasto yabhadrani vidu noti suhritsatam. Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the super soul, the paramatma, situated within the heart of every living entity. And he cleanses away the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the sincere devotee who relishes hearing his messages, which in themselves are virtuous when properly heard and chanted. How are they properly heard and chanted? In parampara, from the external manifestation of the Paramatma, the Acharya of ISKCON. Hearing from Srila Prabhupada is what will destroy the desire for material enjoyment within the heart. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Not just the words on this page, just think of the age we're in. You can hear Srila Prabhupada speak. How many years now? Nearly 32 years since Srila Prabhupada disappeared from external consciousness. And all you have to do is put something in your ear and you're with him. And he's with you. And believe me, he will say to you on a daily basis exactly what you need to hear. To put yesterday behind and face today. Please remember this. Please remember Srila Prabhupada. Please remember that Srila Prabhupada lives eternally in his rooms above us. What does that mean, that he lives eternally? Well, we'll bring Shruti Kirti here one day and he'll tell us all the details of Srila Prabhupada's daily activities. The regard with which we should approach and enter and be present in Srila Prabhupada's rooms should be equal to that with which we enter, approach and enter and be present on the altar. And the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's position is that you don't have to be a Brahmin to go into Srila Prabhupada's rooms. You have to be a Brahmin to get onto the altar. But anyone can go into Srila Prabhupada's rooms. But we must understand, I'm not going to say any names, but I had to point something out to a younger devotee a few weeks ago when I was talking about the fact that there's no running water in Srila Prabhupada's bathrooms because the tank was removed from the tank roof because it was corroded and it was never replaced. And he said, well, what do you need water there for anyway? Implying there's nobody there. If we fall into this consciousness, then we'll say, yeah, and then there's nobody here either. Huh? And you're nobody. And I'm nobody. Huh? And it's all nothing. There was a joke recently going around that it's getting so crowded with all the stuff that's being stored in Srila Prabhupada's rooms, we're probably going to have to move him out soon. Don't forget, Srila Prabhupada sat there and spoke to devotees sitting here like you and me. He sat up there and took his darshan. He sat up there and took his massage. He sat up there and translated his books. He sat up there and took prasadam. In fact, he nearly died up there. He nearly left his body there. These rooms are among the most sacred places in this entire universe. We need to sharpen our game here. We need to sharpen our act. You go to Bombay, and Srila Prabhupada's rooms are sacrosanct. You don't just walk in there anytime you like. There are certain times of the day when you're allowed to go in there. There are two ladies who cook meals for Srila Prabhupada every day. This is not just a statue that we throw a bit of cloth on and throw a few flowers at every day. Srila Prabhupada is here. Srila Prabhupada is here. He has never left. Srila Prabhupada is in his rooms. He has never left. And don't think he won't manifest himself in your life. Don't think that. Don't think that at all. Srila Prabhupada is as accessible to anyone as he ever was. You have to learn the higher principle, which is also inherent in the core of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the highest thing is to serve in separation. And we must live with that separation. But we understand from Brihad Bhagavatamrita that in that separation, in that pain of separation, in that longing which arises from that separation, there will be union. There will be meeting. Now, the scientists, they would say, well, this is all sentimental bunk. But this is science. And the laboratory, the test tube, is your own consciousness. Practice it. Practice it. And I guarantee you, you will experience reciprocation from Srila Prabhupada. Now, in the months to come, we're going to be instituting a lot of changes in Prabhupada's rooms. They're going to be completely redecorated and refurbished. And my wife, Savamangala, Mother Sri Karma, Mother Vishwadevi, myself, Shruti Kirti, will be holding workshops for anyone who wants to be trained in how to become servants of Srila Prabhupada's rooms and learn the correct etiquette of how to be in there. So, and etiquette is everything in life. Krishna gives the etiquette, how you approach the spiritual master. You don't just walk up to the spiritual master and say, hey, Joe, lay a bit on me. John Lennon did. Hey, come on, Swamiji, give us the inside story about this Radha and Krishna stuff. No way to approach. No way. If we learn the right approach and we sanctify Srila Prabhupada's rooms again as they should be, we will bring about, this will be the seed of a revolution of consciousness and preaching in this country. I guarantee you. Because Lord Chaitanya will shower his blessings on this endeavor. Because there is nobody more dear to me than he. Krishna says it. And who is Krishna? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. There is no one more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear to me than he. So if you want to be dear to Krishna, then you become dear to Srila Prabhupada. Or you make Srila Prabhupada very dear to you. And it all comes through this hearing. It all comes through this hearing process. Hearing, and what happens? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. The Smaranam will come. The remembrance will come. Thank you very much for attending class this morning. And thank you for your patience in hearing me out. Does anyone have any questions or comments that they would like to make? Yes, please.